Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. Today we're looking at Judges chapter 13, verses 2 through 5. It says, "There was a certain man of Zorah, the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore be careful, and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines.'" Now, to understand this section, we got to do a little bit of just context here. We're in the book of Judges, which is during a several hundred year period in Israel's history, where they have partly come into the promised land and partly taken over the land. But instead of finishing the conquest, instead of really doing what they were called to do and pushing out the inhabitants that God said to push out, they really became more like them in this process that's called sometimes Canaanization. They got really too comfortable with the cultures around them, and instead of being a light to the people around them and representing God and living this life set apart from the world around them, they really just looked at the peoples around them and said, well, let's be like them. They adopted the worship of the gods around them, the culture and ways of the world around them, and in large part were sort of forfeiting their calling in some ways. Now, God was still faithful to them. God has not abandoned his people. But in Judges, we get this cycle of the people turning away from God, God allowing the Canaanites, in this chapter here, it's going to be the Philistines, to come in and to overtake the people. The people eventually cry out for deliverance, and then God rescues them, and then the whole cycle starts all over again. And so what's happening here is that once again, the people are under the oppression of the Philistines, and God sends this angel to Manoah and his wife and tells the wife, right, you're going to have a son, and this son is going to be a Nazarite, which meant he's going to be under this vow his whole life, where he's not to drink alcohol or anything from the grapes, right, anything that has to do with wine, and then he's not allowed to shave his head. No razor shall ever cut his hair or touch his head. And also, Nazarites were not allowed to touch or be around dead bodies, right? It was sort of this idea that they are specially set apart by God for a purpose. In fact, Samson, the boy's name, right? Samson, his whole life is like a parallel of the nation of Israel. Chosen by God, not because of anything he had done or they had done, but because of God's choosing, set apart, specially empowered by God to accomplish the purpose for which they were set apart, right? God gives Israel, he walks with them, empowers them. God is going to empower Samson by the Holy Spirit. He's this strong man who does incredible feats. And yet, largely, Israel is unfaithful to God and to the calling placed on their life. And Samson, it's going to turn out, as you read, it's the same for him. He grows up, if you go on in the story of Samson, he uses his great strength, he uses God's giftings, really for his own purposes and his own ends. He does not care much about the deliverance of the people of Israel. He doesn't seem to care much for anyone but himself. And while in the end, God does still, through Samson, accomplish a blow to the Philistines, right, in the beginning of some deliverance, just like he said he would, really, it seems like it's almost in spite of Samson in a lot of ways, God using him in some ways in spite of himself, rather than Samson saying, God, here I am, right? I want to be used by you. And so I say all of that to lead us to a place of asking this question. Are we opening ourselves up and saying, Lord, here I am. I want to use the talents you've given me, the time you've given me, the treasures you've given me, for the sake of the kingdom? Are we being used by the Lord? Are we offering ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice to God and saying, God, I want to be used by you? In the end, God is faithful. He is incredibly faithful. And yet, you read Samson's story and kind of wonder, oh, you know, man, This could have been so much better. I don't want us to get to the end of our lives and look back and say, yeah, we still saw God move in spite of us, right? In spite of our obedience. And listen, to some extent, that's true for all of us. We fail, we make mistakes, we sin against God. God has a wonderful way in his gracious sovereignty of working those things out and working through those things. But I don't think that means we should say, I'm going to keep running against God and he'll use me in spite of it. No, like, let's cooperate with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I want to be used by you. It's true of us as well. We've been chosen by God. That's what Ephesians 1 tells us. Chosen before the foundation of the world, set apart by God for a purpose, to go glorify him by making disciples, living for Christ in the world around us, being a light. God has specially empowered us to do that. We have his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in Acts 2 and he has not left. He's here in our midst, in us, empowering us to do the will of the Lord. And I don't want us to, in a lot of ways, sort of forfeit that and not live in and live out of that calling. I want us to say, Lord, here we are. Use me. So as we shift to a time of prayer, I want to encourage you to take a moment and pray and just reflect in your life and ask yourself, ask the Lord, Lord, am I using the gifts and the talents that you've given me to their full potential? Am I dedicating myself to the work that you've, the calling that you've placed on my life to make disciples, to glorify you, to live for you in every facet of my life? Or have I become distracted by lesser things and lesser pursuits? And if the answer is that you have, take time today to repent of that and to ask God to help you refocus and to take some concrete steps toward that. Let me pray for you. Father, we ask exactly that. Help us to use our time, our talents, and our treasure for the sake of your great name. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Let us live our lives for you and you alone. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time now and pray and reflect.